Hi, you're listening to Glad Tidings. Today, we have Pastor Michael Tan sharing the word. We hope this message encourages you in your faith.
Praise God, we are going to read and we are going to talk more about that name today. We are going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 10. Together, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting them to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what has happened to him. Father, we thank you that we too would want, our heart's desire is to constantly be filled with wonder and amaze at what Jesus and his name can do in our life, in all our situations, in all our seasons. May we also experience and be filled with the Holy Spirit with wonder and amazement at what Jesus has done, what he is doing, and what he will continue to do in us and in our church. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you, worship team. Shalom and praise God. Good morning to all of you. This is our family service, and I always love it when we have the generations in the house of God. Let's welcome every generation in the house of God. One thing we know, that God is the God of generations. That from the youngest to the not so young, the Lord knows, the Lord loves, and the Lord cares for each one of us. Can we say an amen to that? I will continue on the book of Acts. I'm just so amazed. I'm so caught up with the book of Acts because of so many amazing truth, so many things that makes me want to love Jesus, love his word, and love his name. In chapters 3 and 4 of the book of Acts, there is a special emphasis on the name of our Lord Jesus. What's in the name? In the Jewish culture, a name is so important because a name symbolizes what they hope to be the person, the character, the attributes, the strength of that particular person. And so a name implies more than just identification. It carries with it authority, reputation, character, the whole person itself, his nature, his will, his promise, his attributes, and his power. So the name of the Lord Jesus has all authority behind it. Because we know in Matthew 28 verse 18, Jesus told the disciples, "All authority has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always." He asks us to teach them all that is commanded. And so we know that the name of Jesus is also the name above all other names, as Paul declared in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. And that is the reason why he deserves our worship, our devotion, our reverence, and our obedience. The great concern of the early church and the apostles and the early disciples, the 3,000, and then coming will be the 5,000, was that the name of Jesus Christ, the God's Son, the God-man, the God incarnate, will be lifted, will be exalted, will be glorified. And that should be also our concern, that the name of Jesus will never be misused, never be abused, never be taken lightly or for granted, because there's no other powerful name. You can call the names of any of the founder of any of the other religion or philosophies, and nothing is going to save you. No one is going to save you or help you except for one person. All the founders of the other religions went to their grave and remain in their grave. But on Resurrection Sunday, only one founder, only one name rose up again. And then he is given a new name: Jesus Christ is Lord. Can we say an amen to that? Hallelujah. Peter's bold declaration to the rulers of the Jews when they questioned him, "By what power or by what authority or what name did you proclaim this message?" Because Peter and John were beginning to share the second sermon, the gospel, after the healing of the lame man. And so they only have to say one thing. And their declaration was very clear. No ambiguity about it. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, Paul was declaring, because even Paul, the time Saul on the road to Damascus, heard the voice of Jesus and says, "Who are you?" He says, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." I am Jesus. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When Paul declared that Jesus Christ is Lord, Paul was quoting from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 45, because there it mentioned that every knee will bow, every tongue confess. That one, he was speaking about God with the prophet Isaiah. But here Paul now is beginning to equate Jesus as equally God, even in the New Testament, that he is the Son of the living God. And that's why he's Lord, because the word Lord means sovereign ruler. He rules over every situation, every people, every nation. He is in full control. Even in going to the cross, Jesus was always in control. Even in choosing the 12, he was in control. Even in going, even in being punished, being persecuted, being humiliated, it was all planned. It was all predetermined. It was all predestined by God himself. So in every situation, God did not lose control, but God was in full control, even until Calvary. Calvary was not an accident. Calvary was not a miscalculation of God, but Calvary was planned from the beginning. Since Adam and Eve fell, Calvary was already in the minds of God. And Jesus is that answer to our fallen nature. Do you know that Peter and John are always found together in Scripture? They were partners in the fishing business. They were doing business together before they came to do God's business. And then they were also responsible to prepare the last Passover meal for our Lord Jesus. And they were also the first two to run to the tomb on the first Easter Sunday morning. Besides Mary Magdalene and the women that were there, they were the first two apostles. And they were also the first to minister to the Samaritans who believe on Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 8. And now they were filled with the Holy Spirit. These apostles have been transformed upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. After seeing Him and hearing Him and touching Him, they now are a transformed and bold men of God right now. And now they are united. Now they are no longer fighting for positions to be on the right hand of the left hand of Jesus. Now they say is the whole world needs all of us. The world needs the people of God to bring the good news, the name of Jesus to every corner of this world. And we thank God even for the mission teams that have come back. I believe the latest is the Pakistan team has just come back. And now the Philippines team has gone. We praise God. And other teams will be going. And the Nepal team later will be going on. The Vietnam team also will be going to the missions. And we also have the local missions to Sarawak too that is planned. Because of that name. Because simply of that name. That name is the difference between light and darkness, between life and death, between heaven and hell. And so that's why is the name is so powerful. Just very quickly, this story of the lame man is also an illustration of salvation. Who is it that needs salvation? Why we need Jesus? Why we need a Savior? This lame man was born lame and he was almost 40 years of age. And all of us are the same. We are born unable to walk right before God, just like the lame man. Because we cannot please God of our sinful nature. We cannot by our own be right before God. And that's why we all need a Savior. Our father Adam had a fall and passed his lameness on all of his descendants. Secondly, the man was also poor, and we as sinners are all bankrupt in the eyes of God, unable to pay the tremendous debt that we owe God. We have the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts, even as we have forgiven our debtors. Only God can clear our debts. And He has done it on the cross. And by His rising from the dead, we are now walking clean and righteous before God. No more owing God, but being right with God. Thirdly, the lame man was outside the temple because he was lame, not allowed to go in the temple. He was just begging at the gate called Beautiful. It's the Eastern Gate or the Golden Gate, the main entrance going to the temple. And many of the beggars were there. And believe he was not the only beggar, because that was a vantage point for beggars where people, pious people, would just drop in to show their piety, especially the Pharisees and the Sadducees would say, I'm doing a good deed, God, you know, put this on my account.
We hope that you are enjoying the message so far. If you would like to know more about our church and get connected, head to our website at gladtidings.my. Thank you for listening. Now let's get back to the Word.
But we cannot win God's favor by just dropping the coin, even unless our heart is right before God. And so, Like the lame man who was outside the temple, all sinners are separated from God. We are outside of God's care, of God's love, of God's kingdom until the Savior is sent, until we repent, until we believe. Three things that I would like to share today about the name of Jesus. The first is His name was His mission. Jesus means Savior. The Hebrew word is Yeshua, means the Lord is salvation. And this is the mystery behind the most famous, the most amazing and powerful name in all the world. Today, if you go to Mexico, today you go to Spain, today you go in certain parts of the Hispanic community, even in the US, you see a lot of men using the name Jesus, either beginning of their name or end of the name. For some ladies, they use it Mary de Jesus, Mary, the mother of Jesus, so that they feel that they will be closer to Jesus. But it's very dangerous to use the name of Jesus. In the English world, they don't use the word Jesus because we want to reference the name of Jesus. Instead of using His name, let us be like Jesus. That is more important. That is more important rather than to use. I hope the people who are using the name Jesus will not commit robbery, will not drive very fast like the way I drive, will not curse, will not be judgmental of people. And they say, hey, that Jesus, huh? Ayo, terrible fella. And he's using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But very specifically, when Peter and John shared to the crowd that were amazed, they know this layman because they have seen him every time they go to the temple. He was very well known to them because he was lame from birth. And he was an adult, 40 years of age. And he was among other beggars. And so they know that this beggar was born lame. And when they saw the miracle, they knew that this was something miraculous. This was something supernatural. But Peter and John wanted to tell the crowd, don't look at me, Peter, or my partner, John. It is not us. We can do anything. We can make this man walk. We can save this man. But let me tell you who. And very specifically, he mentioned, it is because of Jesus Christ from Nazareth. Very specifically, not any Jesus from Mexico or Jesus from Spain. It is this Jesus Christ, the Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament, the Messiah that has come and the Messiah that was prophesied that will be raised up in Nazareth, born in Bethlehem. This Jesus, the one that we witnessed, that who died, and the one we saw being put into the tomb, and then the one that we saw was no longer in the tomb. This Jesus is the one that we believe, and this is the reason why the man walked. The same thing when they answered the Sanhedrin. They used again the word Jesus Christ of Nazareth to make sure they don't get the wrong Jesus. We can use the name Jesus, but we may not believe in Jesus. And one of the sad things that's happening right now in the movies, that people are using His name as a curse word. It saddens my heart to see they are so near. They know the name, but they don't know the person. So the person is the most important part of the name. The name represents the person. Just as when we talk about something, when I talk about LV here, our very good-looking photographer, you know, I talk about LV, we talk about his character, his reputation, his strength. We are not talking about just his name, because your name represents all of you. When people say LV is like that, they're talking about his whole person. So the Hebrew word is Yasha. Yasha means to help, to preserve, to defend, to rescue, to make free, to attain victory, to heal, to bring to safety, to save, and it's got everything in it. And it's what we are all looking for, Yasha. We want hope. We want somebody to protect us. We want to be rescued. We want to be free. We want to be helped. We want victory. We want to be healed. And that is where, from Yasha, we get the Hebrew word Yeshua. So Yeshua is the Hebrew word which means salvation. And here in Isaiah 12:2, again, another messianic verse about Jesus. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. And He has become my salvation. He has become our or mine, Yeshua, our help, our defense, our freedom, our salvation, our healing, and our victory. God is to become the answer to every need we have. Can we say an amen to that? And that is the power in the name and the person that carries that name, that He is our freedom. Just like we have sung, He has set us free. He is our salvation. He has to save us from our sins, save us from the wrath of God, save us from God, not Satan. He is our healing, our victory, our help, and our defense. So that's where the Hebrew Yeshua, when we translated the Bible in Greek, it became Jesus, Jesus. And then when we translated into English, it became Jesus. But it's the one and the same person, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the angel told Joseph, you shall call his name Yeshua because he will save his people from their sins. That is why Jesus, his name is his mission. And he has completed his mission as we have heard so well preached on last Friday and Saturday and on Sunday. The ancient hope for the Jewish people was that one day God will become in reality our answer to everything. God will become our freedom, our help, our healing. He is our victory. He is our everything. He said amen to that. Whatever the need is, Yeshua is the ultimate answer. Take whatever you are and whatever you need and bring it into that name, Yeshua. He helps, He rescues, He saves, He heals, He delivers. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous man runs into it and is safe. Is there any other safer name that we can run into than the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? There we will find safety, we will find hope, and we will find healing. So when we have the word Jesus Christ is Yeshua HaMashiach, that Jesus is the anointed one, the one sent by God to reconcile a sinful people to a holy God. Today, whatever you are struggling with, whatever is your want, whatever is your need, whatever it is, there is an answer and is found in the person who holds the name. His name is Yeshua. The name is the answer to every single thing in your heart, every single thing in your life, everything you are dealing with right now. God knows what you are going through right now. And just call on that name. Run to the name. It says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Run to the name. He is your strength and your song. Secondly, His name is our commission. Peter's first and second sermon in the book of Acts declared only one name that forgives, that saves, that reconciles, that heals, rescues, delivers, protects, and sets free. In Acts chapter 2, verse 21, in his first sermon, it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not may be saved, not possibly be saved, but shall be saved. And the word saved is sozo. Sozo means total salvation, healing, mental, spiritual, and emotional and bodily. So Jesus is the only one that can give perfect wholeness and healing. And there's salvation in no one else. And there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4 verse 12. No other name but that we may be saved. And that is why now you and I have been given the ministry and the message of reconciliation. Now that we are saved, are we going to just wait, sit down, be patient, and wait for Jesus to come? No, because God says, I save you for a purpose. I allow you, the Holy Spirit, to work in you, to believe in my Son's name for a reason, that we may carry the Son's name. We may represent the Son's name. Every time we use the name of Jesus, we are representing the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why it's so important for our character to be aligned when we use the name. Let us not be bad mouth. Let us not be spoken badly among our colleagues, among our neighbors, and says he always talk about Jesus. He always talk about going to the Tuesday prayer meeting, going to the connect group, going to church, but he believe a bit like Satan. That's the worst thing. So it's so important when we say we are Christians or little Christ, as servants of Christ, it's important that we carry the name well. We may not have the name Jesus in our name, but we are carriers of that name. We have the message and the ministry of reconciliation. People will not read the Bible. People may not even come to church, but people will read you. And people will judge Christ based on you, sadly. Somehow, they don't do it for other religions. They don't compare their believers to their other founders. But somehow, for Christians, very special. They say that, why you are like that? Why you behave like that? And this is an indictment for us to respond well, to behave well, to act well. And that's why in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, and whatever you do, whether in deed or word, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that we can give thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ. We are a watch people. People watch us. When people say they are other religion, they don't compare their life with the other religion. But when we say we are Christians, followers of Christ, they will constantly watch us and say, do we do what we say? Do we walk the talk? It's so important. This is why sometimes I don't put the Jesus loves you behind my car in case I drive wrongly. But we have to be a good testimony. Therefore, if Christ, anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this is from God, through Christ, to reconcile us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Sorry, it's not up there. It's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 to 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us, to you and me, the message of reconciliation. We have the name of Jesus for one purpose, to call people home to Jesus. Come home. Whether regardless of their age, regardless of their background, regardless of how bad they have been, God says you can come home. God has made a way for it. Thirdly, his name is our permission. The story on that Good Friday where Jesus was on the middle cross, surrounded on the left and right by two criminals. And one criminal, after some time, began to realize that this Jesus, the one on the middle cross, was different from anyone that he had known. The way he was not angry with the crowd. He didn't curse God. He was just receiving the sins of the world. He was even saying, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And somehow, the thief or the criminal on the cross was so convicted and repented that he rebuked the other criminal who was making fun of Jesus and says, we all deserve to be here. But this Jesus on the middle cross doesn't deserve. He has done nothing wrong. He is innocent. And so he turned to Jesus and he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That was the shocking, unexpected words of Jesus to this criminal who was also going to die. And for Jesus to tell that to him must be the greatest news. That was the good news even Jesus preached on the cross to the dying criminal, that you will be with me in paradise. As Alistair Begg has this very interesting way to look at this. He says, the criminal who accepted Jesus went to heaven. And the angels were looking at this criminal and says, how did you get to heaven? You are such a bad, terrible criminal. And I didn't see you go into the Jewish temple. I didn't see you on the feast day. I didn't see you offer sacrifices. But instead, you were a criminal and you died because of that. Then the criminal could have said, I don't know. I'm also surprised that I'm here. And then the angel could have asked the supervisor angel and go and say, I've got a problem. Can you come and see to this problem? I don't understand how this person is in heaven. And the supervisor angel may ask, do you know the doctrine of justification? I haven't heard about that. Have you been to a connect group? No, I never been. Have you been baptized? No. You go to Glad Tidings? No. How do you get to heaven? The same supervisor asked the same question. And the answer of the criminal was so good. I don't know. The guy in the middle cross say, I could come. That's the only thing that he need. That's the only permission that we need. The guy in the middle cross is no ordinary guy. He is God-man. He is the Son of God. He is the only one who is the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the door. I am the narrow gate. And I am the difficult path. Just now, after the first service, Brother Michael Tang came up to share with me, use this testimony. He says he was been praying for his older sister for 40 to 50 years. And one day, the elder sister was asking, go and tell Tiffany, Pastor Tiffany, and your father, I want to see it. Because she was a cancer patient. So they're asking, can you help me to arrange for a simple funeral if anything happens to me? So Brother Michael says, but do you believe in the name? Do you believe in Jesus first? You have to believe first. And they have been sharing the gospel with her. I think Pastor Tiffany is here, right? Yeah, yeah. And Brother Michael says, for 40 to 50 years, sharing and praying and sharing. And the sister finally, at 80 plus years old, yes, I'm ready to receive Jesus. If she had passed on after going for her surgery, she would be like the criminal on the cross. And the angel is going to have another problem. How did you get here? He says, the man in the middle cross say I could come in. And the sister had another encounter in the hospital, this same sister of Brother Michael Tan. He says, when there were a lot of thoughts came, I do not know whether it was spiritual thoughts, she only say, get away in the name of Jesus. She used that name. And she had that peace before God. That name is the permission. But listen carefully. I'm not saying you should not go for water baptism. I'm not saying you should not go for membership. I'm not saying you should go for equip classes. I'm saying you should go for connect groups. You should come for prayer meeting. You should come for Sunday service, you know. But this was exceptional. God will give permission to anyone who have a repent. What is repentance? We believe what God says about our condition, that we are sinful. We are bankrupt. We are lost without God. That is repentance. We admit and say, Lord, you are right, I'm wrong. You are holy, I'm sinful. We don't want to be like the other criminal who says, I don't need you. And then he will have his way. Today, you and I have this opportunity to be godly examples, to carry the name of Jesus well. Don't misuse, abuse the name of Jesus Christ. In John 14, verse 12 to 14, can I ask the worship team to come back? It says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than this will he do, because I'm going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Scott Wesley Brown. I love this song. I know it's for people in my generation. But I wish you, Jesus, more than anything. We can wish. I just give you from one of the lyrics here. I could wish you leaves of gold, and may your path be smooth. I could wish you treasures, or that all your dreams come true. I could wish you paradise, that every day be spring. But I wish you Jesus. But I wish you Jesus more than anything. Because only in Jesus we have salvation. Only in Jesus we have our help, our healing, our rescue, our deliverer, our wholeness, our peace, our joy. And our names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So if our name is going to be in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is the book of eternal life, to be eternally with God, with Jesus Christ, we have to know the name. We have to represent the name well, and we have to love the name. Loving the name is loving the person, is honoring the person, is living for Jesus Christ. No one can meet all your needs. No matter how amazing your wife, your husband, your parents, your children, your grandchildren, your bosses, no one can meet your every need. There is only one name. There's only one person that meets everything that you need. He is your everything. I know there are many of you here are here today because you have something that you need from Jesus. And He's with us. He has also another name, Emmanuel, God with us. Not our worship minister, but Jesus is our Emmanuel. When we have His name, when we honor His name, when we live for His name and we represent His name well, He is with us and for us. That is the assurance that we have with God. Can I get us to stand even as we want to sing about His name? We want to call on His name right now. And I believe He's going to meet your every need even right now.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you have been encouraged, make sure to follow us on Spotify. To get connected or find out more about the life of our church, visit us on our website at gladtidings.my or follow us on social media. Have a blessed week.